Post-Hypnotic Press presents an unabridged recording of Jennings as Usual by Anthony Buckridge, narrated by Simon Vance. Chapter 1. Message Received. There is a world of difference between a sensible hobby and a passing craze. Out-of-school activities such as carpentry or model-making have always been looked upon as worthwhile occupations calling for some degree of skill and experience. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said for those wild enthusiasms which sweep through a school like a prairie fire, a sudden urge, for example, to make spectacles out of pipe cleaners, or to construct handy gadgets from milk bottle tops and empty toothpaste tubes. As a rule, crazes of this kind do not last very long, and are soon abandoned in favour of the next prevailing fashion. But from time to time an idea will emerge which seeks to achieve the dignity of a genuine hobby. The Form 3 homemade high-fidelity telephone system was a case in point. For the first half of the Christmas term, the succession of popular crazes at Linbury Court School followed a familiar pattern. Conkers, a purely seasonal pastime, gave place to a passion for making banjos from circular biscuit tins and school rulers. This was followed by the introduction of the homemade snorkel, a simple breathing apparatus consisting of a length of rubber tubing, which enabled the wearer to remain submerged for short periods below the surface of the bathwater. The device became extremely popular, for it was found that it could be used equally well for providing a current of air beneath the bedclothes when reading by torchlight after lights out. As the mania spread, so more and more snorkels were improvised, until lockers, tuck boxes, and trouser pockets were crammed and bulging with tangled coils of flexible piping. The most successful type was the dual-purpose 21-inch luxury model, fashioned from a length of garden hose fitted with a funnel at each end. There was also an inferior brand made from the discarded inner tubes of bicycle tyres. This sort, however, was frowned upon by the enthusiast, as it tended to leak under water and to collapse completely beneath the weight of the bedclothes. Then, shortly after half-term, came the do-it-yourself telephone. As usual, it was Jennings who pioneered the latest craze, and it was Jennings, as usual, who was largely to blame for the trouble which ensued. The idea came to him just before school one Monday afternoon, as he was rummaging through the muddled contents of his desk in search of a missing exercise book. It is unlikely that the bright idea was inspired in any way by his surroundings, for Form 3 classroom was a rather dreary room decorated in two shades of green distemper. The furniture consisted of 17 ink-stained desks, a well-worn blackboard, and a cupboard with a broken latch, while pinned to the picture rail were a number of unframed watercolours painted by the members of the form during their art lessons. It was seldom, however, that Jennings allowed his enthusiasm to be dampened by the somewhat cheerless surroundings of his classroom. "You know what, Darby," he remarked to his friend, who was dredging the inkwell of a neighbouring desk, "if I was on the phone, I could ring up and ask him if he's got it in the staff room." His companion broke off in the act of harpooning a fragment of ink-sodden blotting paper with a broken nib. "Who's got what in the staff room?" he demanded. "My English book. It isn't anywhere in my desk. I think Mr. Carter must have collected them at the end of the lesson yesterday afternoon." Derbyshire creased his brow in a puzzled frown, striving to follow his friend's train of thought. It was not always easy to grasp straight away what Jennings was talking about, for his argument tended to leap from point to point like a cat on a hot tin roof. And, indeed, this air of restless activity was typical of his whole nature. An eager manner and a wide-awake look in his eyes gave a clear indication that the 11-year-old John Christopher Timothy Jennings was always ready to play a leading part in the more lively aspects of boarding school life. Derbyshire, on the other hand, was of a cautious and peace-loving disposition, though he did his best to trail along in the wake of his more impulsive colleague. What he lacked in ambition he made up in loyalty, for where Jennings led the way, Derbyshire always followed. "I don't see what you're waffling about," Derbyshire persisted, wiping his ink-splashed glasses with an off-white handkerchief. "If you think Mr. Carter's got your English book, why don't you go and ask him? That's what I shall have to do. I was only saying that I could save myself the trouble of stonking all the way along to the staff room if I could ring him up instead." Derbyshire snorted.